one of those things that in the chaos of the world, in the chaos of life, everything kind of lined up just right. And then I read the scripture and I was like, you picked a really great week, Bill, to look at that particular scripture. Consider the cost. After all, this fall, I've got a kind of full slate. I'm running the Flag Football League and coaching and assistant coaching. I'm teaching church history. I'm involved in the closeout of the planning and finance committee for the classes, and it's grant time again. And then, as the week unfolded, I started to ask myself, did I consider all of the cost of these things? And the hard part is, I did. And I did it anyway. But I want you to think about weighing or counting the cost, because it's something we teach to young people. Decide before you do. Figure out what it's going to take to do it. And then if you want to, if you're willing to pay that price, go ahead and do it. We teach young people to budget things. You know, one of our early struggles is trying to teach someone that when he makes money pet sitting or mowing the lawn, he doesn't have to spend it all the second it comes in on Legos. I know, I owe you for that sermon example. The fact is, I grew up hearing the phrase of, whatever possessed you to do a thing like that? Didn't you think about it? And what always ended up being my, switch the feet, kind of shuffle them around moment was, I don't know, Mom. I really just don't know, because I don't think I did think. And my mom would shake her head and say, that was obvious. The fact is, in our world, we try and teach ourselves to consider what is the cost of everything. Before we go on to consistory, before we take a job, we consider the cost of what it will take. What will it ask of us to take on this task? If we want to build something, what will it take in the labor of ourselves or another? What will it take in terms of pieces? We sing songs. Elvis, for Pete's sake, sang, "Fools Rush In." And so here we are, considering what is the cost of faith in following Christ. The fact is, as we consider what it means to follow Jesus, we are in essence walking in those places of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, where he asked us to consider the cost of discipleship. Now, when he uses the word that is Jesus in terms of cost, he uses tangible relationships. He uses that word hate, and I did my best to try and figure out if hopefully it's not hate that is the word, it's hate. I felt a lot like Tom Hanks in The Burbs when the note comes over. It could be anything, a receipt. It's my note. You know, it's one of those things you want it so bad to be not what it says. But then you realize that Jesus isn't talking about hate in terms of literal hate for your family. He's talking about it as the relationship point you get when you are separated from family and friends. You must be willing to sacrifice of yourself. It makes you really think back to a couple of moments of looking back, thinking backwards. Elijah calls Elisha. There's that great moment, and Elisha's out there in the field working for his parents, and he's got the ox, and he's going to town. He's getting his furrows plowed nice and even, and at that moment of call, what is his response? I'd love to follow you, but I've got to first go kiss Mom and Dad goodbye. I've got to tell them farewell. But then Elijah, and don't get those two confused, and you will, he says, what have I ever done to you that you would do this? See, looking back, going back, is an insult to him. And in response, Elisha then slaughters the oxen, uses the materials he was using to plow as the fire, and he gives everybody a little bit of the ox, and he follows Elijah. He burns his bridges, so to speak. He sets all his past pieces aside. But if we go even further back in the Hebrew scriptures, we hear about Lot and Abram at this place called Sodom and Gomorrah. And what does God tell them? Don't look back on these evil cities. Don't look back. Don't turn back. And what happens? Lot's wife looks back and becomes a pillar of salt. This cutting of ties, this willingness to move forward at all cost, is something that Christ wants all of us to do, to move forward with him. Not to look back, but to move everything to go forward with him. It's about reshaping our lives, not just sacrifice, not that kind of cost. It's about the cost to all of us of serving God. It's one of those pieces where God wants us to go forward and not back. Forward in our faith. And when we count the cost, we know and learn about the cost of moving forward. The relationships that shift and change. The relationship that means something different. When we look at the disciples, and when I say that, I'm not referring to just the 12, but all those following Jesus, this is going to be a particularly divisive choice for them. They are going to follow this separatist leader, Jesus, this guy who's pulling many of them away from the faith that they grew up with. Their families are going to be set apart against them. Their friends are going to say, oh, you're following Jesus. They're going to be disunity and division, and they have to be willing to pay that cost. That's a cost they need to consider if they're going to follow. And it's going to be high. And it goes beyond just the persecutions that would have existed in their world, in their lives. The mental and emotional toll that following Christ was going to take was going to wear people out, wear them down. And if they didn't know what the cost was going to be, who are they going to blame? Well, Jesus didn't tell us it was going to be like this. Well, we were going to follow Jesus, but he wanted a lot. It's that cost that he has been very upfront with us about. And when you think about all that the disciples have to go through. Now, there's this great moment where I start to wonder about Peter as he runs towards the tomb, as he runs there, and they talk about how old he is. And part of me actually wonders if it's like that presidential aging that happens. Look at pictures of presidents when they start their terms and when they end their terms. And that's one job I don't think anybody should ever want. Because somehow, if it's 4 years, they look like they've been in for 10 years. And if it's been 8 years, they look like they've been in for 30. They don't age well. And the fact of the matter is, you can imagine Peter starting to serve Jesus. At the start, he looks great, he's moving great, and then as time wears on, that beard just gets streaks of gray. He's got bands here. He's got a forehead like Ron, like Russ, Bill. Boy, you guys sit, okay, I will say this, you guys sit all in a line, how am I not gonna name you guys? You know, it's a cost. You know, I remember one time where the cost came very real for me. I was in college and I was sitting down with a group of fraternity brothers at Pizza Sam's. And before you ask how the pizza was there, it wasn't good, but it was the best place in town. When you're in the middle of nowhere in Michigan, you take potluck on pizza. But we were having pizza and we were chatting about this, that, and the other. And my fraternity brother, Matt, looks at me, and Matt, on his best days, you could have considered him intense for a heavy metal concert. And he points to me and he says, how do you think your God would feel about you wearing that around your neck? I had my cross. My cross my sister had given me at confirmation that I wore proudly because it was a sign of my faith. And Matt looks at it, how do you feel about it? And you could feel everybody else in the room just get quiet. as the tension rose and a cost got put on the table. The cost of Matt and I's relationship shifting and changing. It was the cost of following God and being viewed differently by people. When I said, well, I would hope that God would be happy that I am honoring his sacrifice by wearing this, that I'm signifying that I am one of his people and one of his children, didn't really sit well with Matt, but he let it go. But later, I noticed that things were different between us. I was one of those religious people for him from that day forward. It's hard because we don't think about that as a cost of following God. And when we are often confronted in moments like that, do we shift our feet, maybe kind of waffle a little bit? Oh, yeah, that's fine, you know. Get embarrassed of our faith. The fact is, the world around gives us the cost. It tells us that there is a cost to following God. The cost to faith, of morality, of living out our lives a certain way, of living to honor God. And if we're not paying that cost, guess what? We're probably not serving God. If we are not engaging in a way that is requiring us to live separate from the world, live differently than the world. Pardon me, I did not mean to say separate there, because we shouldn't be separate. We should be in the world, but not of the world. We should be in the world showing the light of God to everyone around and letting them see that we are willing to pay the cost of discipleship, willing to pay whatever cost it is to serve God, to follow God. The true cost of following Christ is, are we willing to pay it? Are we willing to follow him no matter what? Are we willing to consider that cost and how it plays out? Are we willing to pay it? And do we desire to pay it for our God and for our faith? So, brothers and sisters, I'd like to encourage you all to first consider the cost in our lives of following God, but also to embrace a willingness to engage in a world where faith is hard, where faith is challenging, and where not everybody accepts that we are people willing to follow him. Amen. And now, children of God, let us return to him from out of the blessings he has given.